You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
All right, guys, we'll start it off today with Dave.
Yeah.
We just hit on that NBA draft, but turns out there's two major drafts in the same week this week. The NHL draft is this Friday and Saturday. It's going to be at the Sphere in Las Vegas. Can't wait to see what the visuals are like
so
on that.
Cool.
I don't know how the NHL got that and the NBA didn't. It feels like that would be reversed. I feel like the NBA's cap is a little bit bigger, all that kind of stuff, but so be it. The NHL is going to be in the Sphere Friday and Saturday.
It's because the NHL has a team there.
Yeah, they got
That's
a team
true.
There.
That's
true. Yeah.
Still, I could see the NBA being like, who cares?
Oh, absolutely.
Sphere, you know? Everybody wants the Sphere these days. So my question's pretty easy for you, Dave. With the 13th overall pick, what should the Wild be looking for? Is it going to be defense, goaltending? Do we want another center up the middle, or are they just going to look for the best player to replenish their farm system?
I mean, it'll be the best player. My guess is it's going to be at the forward position because that's where, that's just kind of where you take. Although there's some pretty good defensemen. This draft is kind of weird. You kind of have your top guy, which is Macklin Celebrini, and I think everyone knows he's going to go to San Jose. And it kind of just trails off after that. So I still think that they go with a forward simply because both the team – currently in the NHL and the AHL have enough defensemen coming up. So I think that's where you go because there's also, you look at what they're going to have to do this year, although the salary cap does go up a little bit. It's just going to be difficult to sign everybody where they are and still make an impact. So my guess is, as usual, they'll go forward, probably a center. And who that is, that is anyone's guess. But there's a lot of guys. Cole Iserman, I don't know how you
Iserman,
pronounce his name.
You got it.
Is an interesting name. He's a left wing, and he's the development from the development team. I believe he's the guy that was going to go U of M and committed away. And now there's lots of mock drafts that are having him come back here to the Wild. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I've seen some rumors over the weekend, too, that Winnipeg's top prospect, Rucker McGroarty, might be in trade talks with some teams because he's not happy with how Winnipeg is dealing with him. Should the Wild be interested in that?
The most interesting thing this offseason to me, and I was reading about this, I think it was Mike Russo at it in The Athletic the other day, is there seems to be some steam here, and it makes sense, about what's going to happen with Philip Gustavson. Because with Fleury coming back one more year, And it seems like the time is now for Jesper Wallstedt. You have a huge chip piece to be able to bring something back of real substance if you're willing to trade Philip Gustavsson, if you believe the long-term plan is Jesper Wallstedt. So that, to me, that's even more interesting than who they're going to draft this week, is what's going to happen to Philip Gustavsson.
Do you think he gets traded? What would you put?
I don't know. I think you could. I think there's lots of teams that want a number one goaltender. Or even a strong number two. And if this team is, if Jesper Wallstedt truly is better in the long run than Philip Gustavsson, and that's what the Wild believe, then it makes sense. You got one more year of Fleury. Mm-hmm. He can mentor this young kid who showed really some flashes of great play last year, I think, at the NHL level. So I think it's a really strong possibility. It's really intriguing for me.
May turn into a more interesting offseason than many expected then for the Minnesota Wild as we get into the draft on Friday, Saturday. Pete, I was scrolling around the internet the other day, and I saw a picture I was sure had to be AI or Photoshopped. Turns out it was not. It was two men, one of them at least 2.5 feet taller than the other man, just standing absolutely giant. And I looked it up. It's a picture of the new tallest basketball player in the NCAA, Olivier Roux.
I thought it was a picture of Pete and I.
Not exactly.
I'm not.
Olivier Roux, the French-Canadian who just joined the Florida Gators basketball team, he's listed at 7'9". Yeah. On the official roster for the Florida Gators. It got me thinking of some other physical freaks, either tall, crazy athletic, just something going on where they are a physical marvel. And so my question for you, Pete, who is the greatest physical marvel in Minnesota sports history?
Minnesota sports history?
I'm not going to give you Bo Jackson. Come on.
Yeah, well, that makes it a little bit tougher. You know, when you just look at physical specimens that have we've come across over the years, I got to tell you, we've had some for sure in Minnesota. I'm struggling to come through with a really great name for you, but I think that there are some basketball players. I'll tell you go ahead.
I was going to say, we can give you a second if Dave's got one.
I can go. I'm ready if you want to think ahead. For a second, Pete.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll say Adrian Peterson. you know, and that's an easy one, but his sheer size and strength, power, and speed, you know, was just such at that time when he came in the league in 2007.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It was incredible. I mean, you didn't see running backs that large and have that.
No.
He could go up the middle and gain 5 yards, and he could also beat you on the outside edge. And at that time, I don't know that there were other running backs in the league that could do both of those things. The only thing he couldn't do was pass block and hold on to the football. Minor details, but he was my freak of nature. You know the guy, as you were talking about this, that I think of immediately, and he's not in the NFL. Do you remember Sean Oakman from Baylor?
Oh, yeah, I do.
He was massive, and I was just looking really quick at an article about him. He was 6'9", 280, and he didn't make it in the NFL.
Yeah. He had the athletic traits, but none of the mental and the kind of the playing. Pete, did that give you time to come up with anybody?
It did, and it's a guy that I always admired from the time we moved from California to Minnesota and we had the Purple People Eaters, Carl Eller. I used to look at that guy and just think with the size, the speed, and what he was one of the most intimidating-looking guys on the planet Earth. And to this day, I literally just kind of quietly walk up and say hello to Carl. He's one of the nicest guys in the world after football. But, man, on the football field with the Golden Gophers and everything else, Carl Eller was something special.
I'll give you my answer. The one season the Minnesota Twins had Bartolo Colon. The fact that that guy could still pitch the way he pitched when he
big
looked
sexy.
Like that. Oh,
yeah.
Incredible.
He loved
stuff
his fries.
From Bartolo Colon. Move on here back to you, Dave. Barring major injury and other outstanding factors, it seems like the Vikings roster is probably pretty set for the 2024 season at this point. Now that we see what we've got, we've heard some reports from OTAs, rookie camp, all those events that have been going on at the facility. Which Vikings rookie, Dave, do you think will have the biggest impact this season? I'll refresh your memory on the names. You got J.J. McCarthy, Dallas Turner, Kyrie Jackson, Walter Rouse, Will Reichard, the kicker, Michael Jurgen, and Levi Drake Rodriguez.
I think it's Dallas Turner. I hope above hope that we don't even see J.J. McCarthy this year. I know that there's lots of people thinking that it's possible, but I just defensively, where he gets to fit in and what he can do. He's 6'3", 250. I mean, the guy's just a player, and he's quick off the ball. I think he has the most potential right away to see time and make an impact more than anybody else. And in this defense, with the players that are there, with Brian Flores there, the amount of learning that this kid's going to do and how much better. His ceiling is so high. I think he is by far the best rookie this year.
I would say this. I think he is the best rookie. His talent is unbelievable. I admired watching him at Alabama. I thought the guy was absolutely incredible. But I'm going to go with one that I think is really close and might even be a bigger factor, could be Kyrie Jackson. I just love his height. We need a corner. We draft corners every single year, right? Somewhere very high in the draft usually. But we just haven't had anybody that is overly impressive. I think he's going to be overly impressive. He's coming from the Pac-12. They like to throw the ball out there, and this guy's got height. He's got that length that he can actually stretch out there. And against all these big receivers that are in the NFL these days, I think he's got the opportunity at 6'4" to be really pretty impressive for the Vikings.
Oh, come on, guys. I thought I was giving you an easy one here. I even said the kicker. Well, what's the most important position outside of the quarterback on an NFL team? Who's going to score the most points? It's going to be Will Reichert. It's going to be the kicker. And if he succeeds, this team will be a lot better
inside.
Than if he
doesn't. He's inside.
I have a question for you, Pete, in terms of what's the harder position as a rookie to master, defensive back or linebacker or D-end?
Well, you know, the reality is that the secondary has far less they have to think about. Quite frankly, okay. I mean, you know, so it, either they are dropping back, they're sitting in the flat, or they're man to man. That's it, right? I mean, that's what a cornerback does. So I would say, as far as difficult, you know, Dallas Turner's got to learn a lot, but he's just such a special athlete that I think he could be really, really unbelievable. Now, Kyrie Jackson, I'm not kidding with you guys. At 6'4", you don't see guys that can run at his speed with that kind of size very often in the NFL. I think we stole him by getting him in the fourth round. I think it's going to be very special. I think at the end of the season, we're probably going to be going, wow, that kid should have been a first rounder.
Absolutely. There's a couple of undrafted free agents, too, that the Vikings picked up that are interesting. I think it was Murphy, was it, out of UCLA? It was one of the UCLA defensive ends. I'm forgetting the name off the top of my head. But, I mean, last season we saw who probably the most impressive rookie was, and that was undrafted free agent Ivan Pace. So could be none of the guys that I listed even. Pete, we're going to finish off with you. Gopher basketball players have reported to camp and started practice. A lot of new faces in Dinkytown as the NIL era took a hit on the 2023 Gopher squad. New key players include forward Frank Mitchell and guards Femi Odukale, Lucier Patterson, and Isaac Osama, the incoming freshman out of Cherry, Minnesota.
Nice job.
Thank you very much.
That is not easy.
No, it wasn't. Pete,
Isaac Asimov, the writer? Sorry,
not exactly. Pete, I want to know if this team will have more success than last year's team, which I will remind you made the NIT and did win their first game of that tournament. Are they going to be more or less successful than last year's team?
You know, it is always so difficult because in basketball, there is that mesh that you've got to get, right? I mean, we certainly improved a lot. That was great. I was really happy for the coach because I think the world of the coach, but he's got to win more games. And last year he did. And so that was a nice major step. Can they do it again? You know, I think Big Ten basketball is going to be pretty brutal once again. The competitiveness of our league is always impressive to me. So do we sit somewhere about where we are? Probably. I would say we're probably more like a 500 team. I don't see us going much higher than that in the Big Ten.
I think it's difficult. I think they lost some really good players. I think, but all the teams do, and they have to regroup. I have faith in Ben Johnson. He's restored it in me after what he did last year. I don't know if I guess it's a cop-out, but I don't know if I can say it yet. I don't know. I mean, there's just too many X factors here in what else is going on in the Big Ten to say what this team's going to do.
Yeah, Dave, you're absolutely right. That is a cop-out. But that's all I got for you, Dave.
I was like, wait a second. Charlie's telling me I'm right.
Absolutely correct. You absolutely copped out on that. Yeah, they got Parker Fox back. They've got some players back. They've got Mike Mitchell. They got Dawson Garcia, who's going to be the most important player on this team regardless. So there are pieces there. It'll just I understand why you copped out, but it's still cowardly.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk about pickleball with Charlie. No, I'm just kidding. We won't talk about pickleball with Charlie. We'll wrap up hour number one coming up next.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.